Good evening. Good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle. Who are you? I'm hoping that you're going to call in tonight. And I'd really like to talk to you about the fact that it is so crazy out there. People are going through tremendous changes, and sometimes that's not comfortable, especially if you're not deciding on changing and you fall over, which is what I did. And I told you about that last week. And I'm repairing still. Yeah, because I fell again on Friday. So I guess I had to get it right. And what was really interesting about all that is it's my left arm that's hurt. And I'm an intuitive, as you know. And the left side of the body is where we hold the feminine and the magical part and the receiving and all of that stuff. And I make my living, I guess, as an intuitive. And so I have to be on the feminine side and the intuitive side and also on the receiving side, or at least on the exchange. And mine whackety whacked itself. So there you have it. And not only once, but twice. And what I'm learning is tremendous. I got slowed down. I had to get over myself. I had to ask for help. And I had to do a whole lot of learning about what's going on with me? What is it I'm trying to, and this is something you all need to look at as well. What am I trying to wake up in myself? What is it about myself that I would like to change? Because the whole goal on all of this changing that we're talking about and the chaos and the the downloading of higher frequency energies from the universes and the higher frequency energies on the planet and amongst one another and in the atmospheres and all of that are really booting a lot of people up. And you and I know that we want awakening, right? We want, as some people would put it, enlightenment. We want to be kind of fully embracing our own dharma, which is, and this can change throughout your life, but this is the gifts that you came to put into the collective. And if you can understand it a certain way, is that the collective itself will lift and evolve when enough of us get our dharma in there, right? So, for example, if I'm holding back because I want to be socially acceptable and I want to be totally secure and I don't want to take any chances and I have gifts that are pushing deep within me or a kind of service, because all of it ultimately leads to service, doesn't it? That's pushing in me, and I need to find ways of presenting that in the into the collective. Very often my life will get disrupted. Now, I'm not an astrologer, but a lot of you will be reading some of the reports from astrologers out there, and they're talking about the incredible number of planets that are in opposition right now, one to the other, and how crazy that is going on. It's almost like we're in a chaos, not a sandwich, more like a salad. We're in a salad of, if you will, of not only the downloads coming from the universes, but the various planets and what they reflect back to us are a little bit in, some of them are in conflict or in change, and the vibrations coming from them are influencing us in states of conflict and chaos. And you and I also know that you have to go into chaos in order to change. So it seems like the earth plane and humanity is in a rather dire circumstance, and we're all praying like mad for some huge transformative shift on a massive level, or maybe even on our government level or our global economic level or our pollution level or our atmospheric level and global warming level. A lot of us are just assuming that we're just praying and praying for these things to transform. Back to transform, it's also back to change. We're praying for that kind of thing. And one of the things I find fascinating is with all these influences, planetary influences that are going on, it is inflicting change and chaotic behavior on a lot of people. People lose jobs, people lose houses, people lose their status in life, people suddenly gain status in life, gain houses. It's really strange. You cannot tell which way it's going for whom. But I do know this, that the light's moving up through a lot of people. like in my case, I really want that. I want full awakening. And what's happening in me having fallen is quite remarkable. It's been very painful, and I've had some tears and miseries and a couple of ER trips and so on. But on the other hand, I've had huge insights inside myself about ways in which my psychology or my attitudes or my fears of security or my, here's another interesting one, my attachments to certain people or certain ways that I think my life should go or should have gone, or my family of origin or whatever, pick a thing, anything, you've all got the same things. And all of that has been irradiated, as if the strings, the vibrational strings, which, as you know, are full of light and information, the vibrational strings between me and other scenarios in my life or even other people started to get irradiated. And I've been told by my own guides and angels and a few other characters that are around giving me references that the whole thing for me is about releasing, again, attachments that help confirm or reaffirm my identity. We've talked about this on the show before. What am I attached to about my identity? And it's really time to release a lot of that. So it's a very interesting time for me. And I know from the readings that I do, a number of you have called for sessions. And also I went to a great burning ceremony last Saturday, which ironically they're already celebrating Bernie for president. So it was Bernie. But it was a pretty powerful celebration of burning up a lot of your old attachments and the things about yourself you wish to change. And all the way through the last week and a half of my small T, or maybe I could call it a big T trauma since it took up all of my scheduling, has been a lot about growing, transforming, awakening, love. What does love mean? How many attachments do I have on that? How is my identity trying to reform itself? And what about you? Some of the other things that I wanted us to talk about tonight are, and one of the things that has hugely impacted me during this time of healing, is that, for example, my arm, which I've already mentioned, has been kind of jammed from the elbow down into the fingertips. So all the joints have been jammed, nothing broken, lots of contusions. And it would be feeling okay. And I could chat with people and do some readings on the phone and all of that, and even meet with people in person. However, when I speak with certain people, my arm hurts so much that I want to fall on the floor. It's just incredibly painful. So the thing I realized that we want to talk about tonight, and this is a show, you know that I'm an intuitive. We work with my guides and angels, yours too. We work with energy fields. We work with sacred geometric structures. And we do healing work. And we do some prediction work. And I don't believe prediction should hold, because I do believe that we can mobilize our thoughts and feelings and our intentions and create our reality differently. So we couldn't do that if prediction's meant to be held in place, right? It's kind of like my identity or yours too, right? But the other thing that occurred to me whilst I was speaking about talking to various people, I realized that it was the empathy of certain people's, you know, lower frequencies or their resistances or the whole litany of the human reactions that were pouring through some of these people went right to my wound and really pulled me down. And I was so fragile because of a lot of pain, and I would start weeping. So I just thought, what a great teaching tool, because you and I know that empathy is a very serious issue. Most of us don't consider it 24/7, and we probably should, because the empathy that, I'll tell a story. This is a funny story. Well, it's not funny, ha, 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 but it's a real interesting story. My daughter is 31, and when she was only 7, she and her 8-year-old friend and I were walking into the Safeway or some food market. And I was walking in with these kids, and I thought, oh my, the right side of my brain started to get really weird. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a seizure. Now, I've never had a seizure, but my daughter's father had them fairly often at that period. And I went, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a seizure. So I looked at these little girls, bright-eyed, innocent little girls, and I stomped my foot. I said to my guides, no, 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 we are not doing this here in front of these children and in this store. No, 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 take it. And I stood there looking probably like a noodle, but not as bad as I would look if I were in a major seizure right then. So when we came out and I got home, I got a call that my mother was having mini strokes on the same part of her brain at that time. And my mom lived, for me to drive to see her took at least 4 hours. So she was even in a different country, Canada, and I was in the U.S. And so, and the guide said, dear one, this is my first learning on the practical application of empathy work. Dear one, you could literally die with your mother. Is that what you want? And I said, no, of course not. And they said, well, you're so attached to her, da-da, back to the old attachment thing, that you could literally go downhill with her and be drained as she leaves, because she was dying, as she leaves this planet. Because I was so attached with my brain and my fields and hers. So I had to learn at that point. I knew how to detach from people, but I hadn't thought of it in such a dire way. So I had to really get severe with myself, and I did indeed, oh yes. And we worked with that for quite a long time. And I found, and I used to laugh and say, I'm so empathic that if I sit beside you, I could look like you. And actually, that's funny, but it isn't funny. I mean, I really could do that. And I know a lot of people can do that. Look at people and their dogs. The dogs take on the human characteristics. It's kind of like that, isn't it? The dog sidles up to you and really tries to be whatever it is you need, right? So I was thinking about it a lot before this particular show because of the pain that has come up in my arm speaking to specific people. And that is interesting, is it not? So then I thought, okay, here's something we need to do. Let's all do an exercise just before we do our meditation. And I certainly hope you're going to call in. I'll give you the numbers if you like. 888-627-6008. I'm going to say a few things, and we're going to do the meditation, and then you can call in. Okie dokie. All right, so take a minute here, and we're going to draw in some light. See yourself pulling the light in from way up above in the great central sun and have that light pour down and move round and round and round your body, round and round and round your body and tuck itself under your feet, shoot into the core of the earth. And once it does, I want you to let it pop back up, pop, and go up through your behind, through the tailbone, and then spiral its way all up through your body. Can you feel it? Spiraling all the way up through your body and straight back out into the great central sun. Now, really, what you should feel, I know a lot of you are just looking at it, and I go, don't just look at it. Actually feel what it's like to spiral out, to squeegee, to bottle wash, a kind of a light through your body. And now I want you to take a minute, okay, and picture someone that you have spoken to over the last little while. It can be someone at work. It can be someone who's not, all right, if you want, you can pick a child, one of your children. You can pick a lover, a loved one. You could pick a parent. You can pick a gas station attendant, just someone that you've talked to in the last little while. And I want you just to take a minute and imagine or call up all the energy that comes from that person. Okay? Call up all the energy that comes from your exchange with that person. And what happens in you? Do you feel pulled, pushed? Do you feel sparkly? Or do you feel expanded? And I want you to use that light as a bottle washer. And I want you, first of all, pay attention to which parts of your body start talking to you. Is it your face, your head, and your cheeks? Is it your knees? Is it your belly, your solar plexus? Is it your chest? Is it all of the above? Is it your feet? Exaggerate wherever you can find it. Don't argue with it. Oh, it shouldn't be in my knee. It should be in my, you know, it doesn't matter. Just look at it, see where it is, be truly honest. And then using your mind as a sculpting tool, again, we drop that bottle washer, that beautiful golden spiraling light in through the top of your head, and I want you to squeegee it out. Let your body be cleansed. And if you want to, you could say, I command total release of that person's energy now. Feel it sloughing off like a snake skin or shooting out of your body. It's really, really important work. Now we're going to take a break and we're going to do our sacred geometric meditation. I love this. I always get really, really lit doing this. And in our sacred geometric meditation, we're going to do some healing work. We're calling in the guides and angels, and we're going to do some healing work on various people in here. So be prepared. And you can always send me an email, veronicaantwistle.com, or text me at my number 520-360-2102. Text me at 520-360-2102. If you have someone you want to take into the healing into the structures for healing or for help. Let's say it again, 520-360-2102. All right, reach up above your head and see up there a golden ball, and below your spine, another golden ball. Okay, and from the upper golden ball, drop a filament of light right down all the way through your spine into the lower golden ball. So there you are, you're on a skewer, right? Now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a three-sided pyramid, and it's gold too. Now push it out so you could play underneath it. You got to have room, right? And then upside down, another three-sided pyramid, and its point goes into the lower golden ball. So now if you put those two pyramids together base to base, you have yourself inside of a big diamond. And now inside of that, with the ball touching the edges of your diamond, see a crystal ball. And oh my, it's very sparkly, shimmery. It's all kinds of things. And that crystal ball is so beautiful. And inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional star of David. And see yourself in that star. And whilst you're in it, I want you to spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And whenever I do that, I feel amazing, like I'm dizzy. You know, you and I know this is a visualization. This is not necessarily happening, but it feels in my body mind like it's happening. So spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And in front of you, you've got a magical screen. And on the magical screen, we're going to put several different films. The first film we're creating is a film of you becoming what it is you want to become. I want to become consciously multidimensional so I can be anywhere at any time and really be aware of whatever's going on in any of the dimensions of my world. I haven't mastered that yet, but every now and then I get bits of it, right? And when all of that begins to happen, I don't know what it is you want to become, but you can become anything you want because this is magic and we love it. And then when we become aware that we're getting there in our vision on our screen, wrap it in light and send it over to the left so that it can keep stewing. And now on the second screen, you want to create something. What is it you want to create? It could be home and family. Right? It can be a house, a building. It can be a world travel. It can be going to Machu Picchu. It can be writing a book, doing a television show. It can be anything that your little heart desires because it's your movie. And I want you to see all the pieces coming together, the resources, the people, the money, the place, the time, the enthusiasm, the weather, the whole thing. And it's all coming together. Are we on? It's all coming together. I don't know if we're still on. Okay. It's all coming together, all the pieces, and you give yourself a little celebration, right? And in that celebration, you say to yourself, I want to continue my project for its natural life, for its natural existence. So you see all the pieces, the time, the money, the people, everything all around it to sustain your project until it has a natural denouement. Excellent. And then when it's like that, when you know that it's done, wrap it in light and move it over to the side. And now I want you to take a minute and imagine these wonderful beings of light which surround you and surround me and surround each person here. And we have a tremendous field full of consciousness that is surrounding our entire audience here, even the archives. And we have these amazing beings of light. So here we have our Galactic Healing Center. We put a bed in there. We always have our healing table. And then some of the guides, the specialties, the ones with the specialties of healing, stand round the table, and in the first person is that jumps on the table is you, right? And see, or me in my case, so I lie on the table, ask for help with my, guess what, left arm, right? And all the reasons why it was a very practical move for me to be, in quote, damaged, you know, hurt or blindsided, if you will, okay? I'm asking for all that, and they will tell me that. So who are you, what are you finding out on the table? What are you taking to these beings of light? Are you asking for something specific? Because if you don't know what it is you want, they can tell you. Ask them what you need. Good. And they'll start to answer you. Pay attention. They'll start answering you. They're giving me a little lecture, so I'm not telling you what they say. Why should I? Why should I admit my own foibles, eh? They're not giving me flack. They're just giving me a little advice here. What are you getting? Are you getting some advice? And now let's wrap all that in light and move it over to the side. And we're going to bring in some special people. Now, we have a senior here who's really been through some difficulty, and she can't seem to recover from the anesthetic. It's really difficult. Now, she's not the only one. I'm going to put like five or six tables. The six tables are showing up right away. And we're going to use seniors for this particular one. Older people who cannot bounce back or let themselves be resilient at this time. And why not? We might talk about that. This woman is a very sweet woman, and she's had a very strong and tough life. The first woman that we talked about. And the guides are soothing. Yeah, they're soothing her, and they're working with her brain pattern. Oh, my goodness. I want to say that she doesn't necessarily want to recover. Part of her is really feisty and opinionated and says she does, but part of her is ready to kind of sift off the planet. And she has a very deep belief that when she leaves, it's going to be nicer. So that's kind of what's happening with her. Now, there's a number of them. One fellow has broken his body in a terrible way, and he's lying there. He's very, very funny, and he's lying there, and he wants to get better. So we're asking them to help him. And they are, and the thing about him is he's funny. And when, you know what's really interesting is when he laughs like that, there's some very interesting energies that run through his body, which can literally charge up the healing, right? So that's what he's experiencing. Now, there are several other ones, one of whom is, oh my goodness, Now, I have to say, this is a woman who's got some kind of difficult. She just is in hospital because she's got some awful gastrointestinal problems, and I see little holes throughout her body, but she also has lesions on her brain. So I'm looking at her, and I'm asking them if they can give us some advice, and they're just pouring energy into her brain. She's another one who really does not necessarily want to recover. So they're surrounding her with light and tenderness and love and recognition. There you are. Because she's one. Oh, that's good. We said this fellow's humor is really important. This one hasn't had much recognition. And it's the recognition that's pouring at her from the guides and angels and also the personal energy that they're doing. That's right. And that's how, okay, and now she's having a certain amount of peace because she feels like she's at some deep level that she's kind of arrived. Now, I want to say whether this woman lives or passes, we've helped her a lot, or they've helped her a lot by giving her a sense of self and a sense of peace, even if she's not fully conscious of it yet. It really makes a huge difference for when you're slipping on through. And then there's two more here. And knees are a big deal. That's right. And one of them is very, very angry, and he's got very bad knees. And I'm going, oh, my goodness. So what they're doing is pulling a lot of the fear out from his knees, and his rage has a lot to do with fear. And he's tense in his whole body because he does not want to put up with all this. So they're putting their hands on his head, and they're putting their hands on his shoulders, and they're giving him a lot of soothing, and he's already calming down. His feet are a mess, so they're putting their hands on his feet, and he's getting much calmer. And the other one is just a hopeless fellow. He's another man, actually. He's just really hopeless about his life. And the guides are doing an interesting thing. Remember, our guides can replicate themselves, so they can be 5-6 teams right there, even though there's only one. Okay, so that's enigmatic. It's okay. And we're soothing him. There we go. They're helping him a great deal. I can feel his energy changing. It's almost like he moved from this little gray, I am nothing, into I am something after all. We're wrapping those in light. And now we're seeing who else is going to come in. Little boy, sweet, sweet little boy, whose life is very, very short now. He's 13. And he's suffering terribly with all the effects of chemotherapy. Yeah. And so we're asking the teams if they'll work with him and give him peace. And give him some, he's got a horrible mucus thing going on throughout his body. And I gather it's an awful reaction. It's a very difficult reaction to a great deal of chemotherapy. And nobody quite knows what to do about it. So he can't eat or swallow. There's a lot of things he can't do. So his days are short now, it looks like to me, although I always believe in miracles. And the thing is that we would love him to have at least some comfort and some joy. He's a funny, funny young man. And they're pulling something out of his, let me see here. They seem to be working on his throat and his chest area and then his belly. They're pulling vibrational strings out and out of his brain pattern. And I'll let them continue. Let's wrap that in light. Let them continue with this process. And two more beds. I want his parents to come in. And any of the parents that you know that have deeply suffering children, the parents come in and they're lying down, both of them. And there's this tremendous light right in front of both of them, showing them that the purpose of life is not necessarily longevity, and that they've been amazing with their son. And they're just giving them so much love. So much love. Excellent. And we all can follow that too. Now wrap that in light and move them over to the side. Let's do our political one. Not that I want to dismiss my friends summarily like that. Now let's bring in a new bed or a new healing table and bring in a political situation. One of the things I'd like to do is bring in, we have this global warming. I don't know what we have, but we have tremendous numbers of fires and we have droughts in certain parts of the country. And I'm going, you know that we can bring in water. We know we can bring in rain. We know we can change atmospheric difficulties. So let's go and put that on the table here and ask the guides and angels and source and all the beings of consciousness that are out there to please bring in rain in the right places for the right areas and really help to reestablish a balance around our beautiful planet. But you and I know also they're asking us to reestablish a balance, a respective life. Because as soon as I ask for that, they're opening their arms and saying, each of you has to remember to set up a new kind of balance in yourself, respecting of nature and being in the flow. Remember how to be in the flow with nature. So back we go into the fires. Yeah. And let's call in rain where there's these fires, rain where there's drought. Beautiful, beautiful rain. Good. I know I keep meaning to read Rolling Thunder, and Peter Calhoun talks about that for when he learned to create rain during a drought in Sedona. Peter, where are you? Are you out there in different dimensions and you can help us with this? All right, so then let's wrap that in light. Wrap it in light. And then you and I, using your brain as a sculpting tool, draw down some of the most amazing colored frequencies. Bring them down through the top of your head. Good. Down through the top of your head, have them spiraling through the top of your head, through your face, down through your neck, which is consciousness of self, which is in a state of change, and down into your heart, where it spins round and round, bounces back up through your shoulders, down your arms and out your hands. And then with all the care that you have and joining with our healing team, I want you to, from your hands, I want you to pat the light of healing on any part of the world that you can see that's in distress, whether it's where there's fire, good, whether it's where there's war, whether it's where there's loss of any kind, or illnesses, terrible sicknesses, or where the imbalances with nature have cost the animals a great deal. Just keep patting. Just keep patting. All righty then. And have that light go round and round and round our planet so that the atmosphere is just percolating with it. Beautiful, beautiful, harmonious light. Good. And have it go round and round and come right back up through your hands, through your arms, whirl around in your heart, pop back up through your neck, up into your head, and pop way out into the great central sun. Drop back down and fill you, and then you turn and close off the Galactic Healing Center. Close it off, and then jump into your star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin. And so either text me or phone me, 888-627-6008. That's not so hard, is it? Can you call me? Let me know what's going on with you. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, oh my goodness, we have a lot to do on the planet if we want to do lots of healing, right? We need to know how we can make a difference on this amazing planet of ours. So back to empathy. I'm going to go back into what we were talking about before. Empathy isn't always bad. Like I said to you, I can look like whoever I'm sitting beside. So if I pick a really beautiful person, hey, that works, doesn't it? It's because the frequencies do move up through us. So here's the other thing. Rachel Van Dessel is a really wonderful interviewee on Paradigm Shifters. A couple of years ago, I must bring out her interviews again. Rachel is a professional dancer. She also is a very studied Tibetan meditator, an amazing woman and an artist, and used to teach Tibetan dyeing, or, you know, the styles of Tibetan dyeing, I think through San Diego University or something. Anyway, she it does something every summer that I thought it would be interesting to go to. I don't know whether I just am reluctant to do those things or because I never did go. But what they do is in this Tibetan place, gathering place, there's a whole bunch of costumes, okay? And the costumes all are references to some of the deities, the gods and goddesses that apply to their religions. And it's not just that they worship them. If you think about empathy, you go, okay, well, look, certain gods represent a certain kind of energy field. So what she was telling us is that people come and they select which deity they would really like to have the costume of for this dance period. And then they put it on and then they dance as if they're that being, that goddess or that god. And they dance, I think, off and on for 3 days or something like that. But the whole idea is, talking about conscious empathy or empathy for transformation, is they dance and dance and dance in order to inculcate or in order to imbue themselves with the higher frequency energy. So if one is about compassion and one is about love and one is about humor, and I don't know what all their qualities are, but presumably they all have a specific listing of qualities. And you dance and dance and dance until you've created that. I think that's just brilliant, and that is the other side of empathy. So when you learn, if you learn and I learn, to pull away other people's influences, right? And it's really important to do that for a number of reasons. One is, if your identity is a weaving of all the people that you've met, and energetically it can be that, psychologically it can also be that to a degree, but what we're trying to do is become true, our true nature, who we really are. And if our species is going to evolve, we have to find a way of getting out of this incredible, almost like crocheted network of everybody else's rubbing off their frequencies on us. People don't do it because they're being awful, but a lot of people in need, for example, reach out energetically and pull in order to get energy. We know about that. But do we do anything about it on a regular basis? Sometimes I'll be in a store, I mentioned the Safeway, but some sort of big grocery store or something, and I'll be talking to someone, and I realize, oh my gosh, this person is like my mom, who's been gone for a long time. But one of the first things we used to do years and years ago, what my guides taught us, was to bring up in your body mind, like clear your energy first, bunch of breathing, and bring up in your body mind all the energy that comes from your soul contract with your mom. Now, most of you can do that. It doesn't matter if she's on the planet or not. Bring up all, and it can be good, it can be difficult, it can be bad, it can be a whole weaving, right? Doesn't matter. So you bring up all the energy that comes from the soul contract with your mom and exaggerate it. Good. And where is it in your body? That's the big question. Where is it in your body? And I want you to note that. Is it in your head? Is it in your knees? Is it in your belly? Is it in your sex organs? Is it in your chest? It doesn't matter. Pay attention to where it is. Because the guides used to say years ago, you want to call up and feel the mother every day. And then, of course, they'd say, and I want you to call up and feel the father every day. Because a lot of people go, oh, no, I don't want to be like my mother. I don't want to be like my father. Or how could I be so like them? Well, a lot of it is just that we're programmed by their energy that we take on. And of course, we develop as a fetus in the belly area of the mother, which is the area that houses the subconscious, right? And it also houses karma and everything else. So we're bound to have an awful lot of her energy, even if she's the best person in the world or the worst person in the world, right? And the father too, but it's a little bit different. So when you discover where she is in your body, and maybe it would be my left arm, maybe it's my legs, and the legs are the area of support, male on the right, female on the left. So tends to be that the mother energy will have an impact maybe all through the body, but maybe it'll be extreme on the legs. Maybe it'll be extreme on the left. And maybe it won't. Maybe it'll be extreme on the right. Maybe your mother's energy made it more difficult or more empowering for you on the right side, which is how you go ahead in the world. You see how I'm playing with this? So we're going to do it one more time. Call in all the energy that comes from your soul contract with your mother. Some of you are even burping. Yeah. Exaggerate. And then stomp your foot and say, I command total release of that energy now. And feel it sloughing off your body like a snakeskin, or just flush it out of your body with these wonderful spiraling lights. And then you swish yourself out with light, swish, swish, swish. So now that you're all clear of that, let's call up all the energy that comes from your soul contract with your dad. Yeah. Now, some of you don't have a dad, right? Doesn't matter. You bring in a man that has had a huge impact on you. And it's funny, with my dad, my throat got really tight today. That can change, you know. That's why you should do it regularly. The guides used to say do it every day. It just takes a minute. All the energy that comes from the soul contract with your dad. Yeah. And notice where it is in your body and exaggerate it. That's good. And now ask for help from your guides and angels as you command total release. Total release. Yeah, and swish yourself out with light. Now let's practice what Rachel Van Dessel and other people who are doing the deity dancing do. Let's call in, just scour your area for who you pray to. Who is it that you pray to? We have a real broad spectrum of spiritual influences that, you know, we choose, don't we? Okay, so it doesn't matter which one you choose, but what if it's, the divine feminine? I'll pick some. Those are more generic. Not generic, but, you know, they cross through all kinds of barriers, don't they? Or it can be Buddha or Jesus or any of those. So I want you to pick a divine being that you really like. Okay, and I want you to imagine or call in all the energy that comes from that persona of divinity. All the energy that comes from that face of divinity. What happens in your body? I wish you were calling in and then you could tell me. Or I wish you were texting in. Nobody's texting. Okay. All right then. What happens when you do? Good. I don't know how many of you are oneness blessings givers. But whenever I call in, I am, and I know a lot of you are. I'm many different things, having explored many, many of these different routes. But one of the things I love about the Amma Bhagavan, a couple that's an avatar when they're together, and they have the Oneness University. And it's really, I'm pretty cheeky and cynical about the whole guru thing. I have been for years, and I know a bunch of you are as well. But in any case, going through many, many oneness blessing situations, I never did go to India, but I went to many, many of these ceremonies or of the services and so on. And it's funny because I just call in, I'm a Bhagavan, I'm a Bhagavan, I'm a Bhagavan. And my whole body begins to buzz, that it begins to vibrate. And I'm conscious that, and my practical mind goes, wow, what an amazing thing that this little couple over in India can respond to me when I call them in at any day or any night. Can you feel that? I can feel that. So when you're, it's wonderful. Thank you for the support. But also, so when you're doing empathy work, which is calling up, perhaps you've had a battle with someone or somebody you know is always depressed and hangs on you. That's a really good one, okay? Somebody who's really depressed and hangs on you, and you call it up in your body, say, and you might be very kind and compassionate. Maybe you understand this person, but they're hanging away, and you don't know why you yawn and are tired every time, every day lately. And then you find out you've been talking to that person every day lately. So instead of fretting about it, what you do is call it up. Call up that person that's really having a hard time. And feel weighed down by it and notice where it is in your body. And it's really important because if it weighs you down in the head, it might make you dizzy, it might make you confused. And so when that confusion comes up, you can go, oh, I get that when I'm dealing with so-and-so, you see. So if you're out in neutral territory and there are people there that you don't know and you get the same energy, you know that those two people have the same anxiety and you're taking it on. So what happens is here we are trying to grow. What's the purpose of all these changes, right? We're trying to grow and change and become our true nature. But unless we get the art of pulling off these influences by others and filling ourselves with a new kind of energy, it's really difficult to grow out of the old ways of our identity, right? Because we're stuck. We're sort of weighed down in it. So you call up somebody that you've been talking to who's been depressed, and we exaggerate it and we exaggerate it and command total release. And sometimes you call up somebody who's really needy and you call up her energy or his energy, and you find your solar plexus feels like it's, somebody's just pulling on it. They are pulling on it. The energy that they need to sustain themselves, they're hooking into yours. And you don't want to do that. But it's not that hard to unhook it. You just need to feel it, know it, and respect your ability. So say somebody's hooking into your solar plexus, right? That's your personal power center. And you go, oh my God, every time I talk to her or him, I get a really terrible, like a kick in the gut. I'm saying, okay, get in there with your lights, bring in, call in the highest being you can imagine. Call in beautiful golden spiraling lights. Call in the violet flame, Saint Germain's great gift to us all, the violet flame. Build yourself a star tetrahedron and put it in your solar plexus and just get to work and scour and build up. Because if you build up your own light and you swish it through your body and swish it through your body, that person can't attach. They can only attach if that darker energy is there for them to magnetize. And so that, and I remember I've often said this, Valerie Hunt said, nothing can stick to you, nothing, if you can raise your fields and frequency. So we go into the star tetrahedron or we do the structures. You notice there's a lot of motion, a lot of spinning. And one of the most wonderful, fun things you can do, and I do this sometimes when I'm walking and talking to spirit, you build those little stars at the underneath your feet and spin and spin and spin and spin them. Spin them under your feet until you feel like you're walking on air. Don't fall like I did. That was a whole different issue. And spin and spin and spin. So when you've got somebody attached to your energy, or if you've got sore knees, stick those stars in, as you're walking, stick those stars into your knees and spin and spin and spin them. And I promise you, you will feel different. you'll feel like you're doing something. Now let's spin and spin and spin in the solar plexus. You can do it in the belly too. You can do it all the way through your body. But I'm picking the, it's making me burp, but I'm picking the areas that we were talking about. So let's spin and spin and spin in your solar plexus. Spin and spin and spin. Good. Spin in your chest. That's it. And up into your throat. This is your transformation center. It's the first of the wisdom centers in your body. Spin and spin and spin that little tiny star. You can make it big too, because we're magical. And when we're doing this visually and energetically, you can make things big, small. You make them fit. You can make them surround. But spin and spin and spin your star tetrahedron. And move it up. Some of you got sinus problems. Get that star tetrahedron into your sinuses and spin and spin and spin. Change the energy. Change the reality. As you spin these sacred geometrics, guess what? You change the reality of where you are. Up into your third eye. Spin in. Yeah, and out through the top of your head. Yeah. And then you put one all around your body and spin, because it's your Merkaba, isn't it? And how do you feel right now? So I guess in closing, I'll say that this has been quite a lesson on empathy, how to use it for your advantage, to your advantage, and how to understand that it exists all the time. And as a species that supposedly is wanting to advance, it's crucial. I think I told you ages back that the first time I really paid attention to this coming from television, I walked by the TV when we were playing an old version of The Little Buddha. Remember that movie? And I felt the huge light coming off the movie. And by then I had already realized that television or radio could be a radiant force that could lift the fields in people's houses, you know, paying conscious attention to sending higher consciousness material out there. But I know that's very unfashionable. However, if you play around with this stuff and you pay attention to what you're radiating consciously, or what your music or your interviews or whatever are radiating, you can make a huge difference on people's lives. Because instead of empathizing with one another's trauma and getting stuck in it, they can bask in these amazing fields and frequencies that you're choosing. So we're done for tonight. Thank you for not calling in. Jeepers creepers, you guys. I was really hoping to talk to several of you about what's going on in your life, and are you going through so many changes you couldn't phone in? Maybe. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, I really hope that I'll hear from some of you, that you'll give me some feedback. By the way, did any of you listen to the old interview with Stuart Wilde? I know he's on the other side, but I heard it recently and I went, you know, that was such a good interview about talking about what's going on in the world. And also, he was so incredibly funny, very smart, and very, very spiritual. He made a big difference. He shook a lot of people up, and his name was Wilde, and I guess he really was. So we were fortunate to have corralled him and to have captured his wisdom, his light, and his frequency in our archives. I hope some of you pay attention to the archives, because I find it amazing how rich they are. Not because of me, but because of the amazing people that are on the planet, and we're lucky enough to have talked to some of them. So tune in to the podcasts on veronicaantwistle.com or iTunes or Stitcher, Paradigm Shifters it is. So this is Veronica saying thank you so much for listening. I hope to hear from you soon. Veronica at veronicaantwistle.com. Many, many blessings and much love.